I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 11, and I want to read verses 25 through 27. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then I want to read in 1 John chapter 1 again, verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, or the age-lasting life, or the life. There's two definite articles there. Which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The passage in 1 John is telling us that John desires for them to whom he is writing to have fellowship with them. And then he tells them that their fellowship is with the Father. And the fellowship with the Father pertains to life for the coming age. When we have fellowship with the Father, we are talking about ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom of our Lord. We read the passage in Matthew chapter 10, where Matthew tells us that in verse 27, that all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal. The word he and the word him are in italics, meaning that it has been supplied by the translators. So the implication here is, who is to be revealed? Well, we can't know the Father except He be revealed to us, and we can't know the Son except He be revealed to us. So the revelation has to be of both the Father and the Son, not just the Father. And so it's a very unusual request in 1 John, in that they say, we want you to have fellowship with us, but we are having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And Matthew tells us that only those to whom the Son reveals the Father and the Son can really have fellowship with them, or with the Father and with the Son. So we're talking about a pretty exclusive group of people. This is a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's simply what the case is. And this select group of people is on the basis of God's choice and the Son's choice. We have nothing to do with it, except the Lord give us a desire for doctrine, for sound doctrine, actually for the truth. There is a reference to the truth with a definite article before it, and it is a truth that separates the serious Christian from the nominal Christian. It separates those that have been chosen for fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and those who have not. Now, who has He chosen to reveal Himself to? In Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 25, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, "And that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent." If you've been well educated, this does not necessarily qualify you to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. In fact, it is a hindrance, basically speaking. Because 1 Corinthians tells us that God has not chosen the high and the mighty, the brave and the noble. He has chosen the base. He has chosen the things that are not. Because a wise man, he can glory in his wisdom. If you belong to Mensa, you belong to a very exclusive group. You belong to a population of 2% of the earth because of your high intelligence. And so therefore, you can boast of being in Mensa, you know, being a member of Mensa, and you don't have to tell somebody how smart you are. All you have to say is, I belong to Mensa. And people who've heard of it know that you are a pretty smart guy or girl or lady. So, being wise and prudent does not give you an end in having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. In fact, it might be a hindrance. Because the Lord does not want to share His glory with anyone. And the wise and the prudent can glory in their wisdom and in their education. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the rich man in his riches. And, you know, if you're a wrestler, you can't glory in your strength. Thinking about our governor-elect. It says, we not to glory in human ability. God gets glory out of choosing those who are not to share His precious truths too. Because I tell you, when you know that you don't deserve what you have and what you're getting, you appreciate it more. It doesn't always happen that way, but in the majority of the cases, it does. Now, He says He has revealed them unto babes. The word reveal means to open or to pull the veil away so that the babes can see. Now, the word babes here has to do with attitude. It has to do with ability. And it also has to do with the capacity of the individual. This is not talking about little children. It's hard to... In fact, this word babes, the Greek word means unable to speak. Not to speak. And obviously, it's very difficult to reveal anything to someone who can't talk. So this is not talking about people who haven't the ability to speak. But this is talking about those in the family. Now, we're talking about those in the family. Those in the family that haven't made up their mind. They are not teachers. Teachers are able to what? Speak. They're able to teach. These have not become teachers. The wise and the prudent are what? Teachers. Babes are not. And God delights in teaching those who are teachable and haven't made up their minds, haven't been actually corrupted by man's system. And so God reveals them to those who haven't made up their minds. Now, also, in verse 20, going down, skipping down to verse 27, He says, "Now all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son." This word knoweth is a significant word. This word is in the present tense. It means faithfulness in knowledge. In fact, there's a little prepositional prefix to the word, epi, meaning upon. This is knowledge upon knowledge. This is talking about a babe who continually is studying and learning and growing in knowledge. Line upon line upon line, precept upon precept. This is a process of knowing the Father. Obviously, we will never come to a complete knowledge of the Father or the Godhead at all. This is an ongoing process. But significant to this is this. This process can stop. You can stop having a desire to know the Father and the Son, and you can stop having a desire to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And we need to be warned of that. And again, it's the Son who reveals the Father and Himself to the babes. And actually, we will see a little later on, it is also the Holy Spirit. He is the exhorter. He is the Spirit of the truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the truth. He is also the convictor of sin. He convicts of sin. And He also teaches the truth of the Word of God. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 21, we have a parallel passage of Scripture, which we have already read in our Scripture reading this morning. But in verse 21 it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it so it seemed good in Thy sight." In Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, it's interesting to note that the Jewish leaders brought Peter and John in and called them on the carpet for preaching the truth. But they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled at this. They were not among the wise and the prudent. In fact, it's interesting here. This word unlearned means that they weren't writing anything down. They weren't authors. Let me tell you, if you are an author, you have made up your mind what you're going to write down, right? And I tell you, you better be careful what you do write down for others to read, because you may have to eat those words, or you may have to change them. And I have known some that have had to change what they have written. And I've had to do the same thing. Not so much in writing as I've had to eat my own words. Because I have made errors in teaching the Word of God. And I've had to correct myself, and I've had to also admit it to others as well. One of the things that we read in Proverbs is, oh, by the word ignorant men is the word, the Greek word is used there for which we get the word idiot, meaning that they are really, the word means to be apart. In fact, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John apart by themselves, the root word for idiots is the word apart. Those who stand apart, off by themselves. And it's not that Peter and John were off by themselves. It just meant that they were not letting others really influence their life. But it's the word that we get idiot from. But anyway, Proverbs tells us the glory of God is to conceal a thing, But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God does not reveal all of His truth to all of His kids, because He wants to see, and He wants us to know, who are those of His family that desire to be kings. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search it out. It's the king, those who are striving to be kings under the King of Kings, and those who are striving to be lords under the Lord of Lords, that will seek out a matter. In other words, they are seeking to learn and to grow. Jesus told His disciples, He says, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them." When Jesus was talking about the Father during His ministry, He used proverbs. He used figurative speech or figurative language. In John 16:25, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs," also translated parables, and in other translations it's translated figures of speech. "But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." The plan of salvation is not given in proverbs. Truths pertaining to the Father are hidden. They are concealed. They're given in language so that only those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will respond. Because it's the Son that chooses whom He will reveal the Father and Himself to. Now, we're not talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not revealed. He was proclaimed by John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That wasn't revealed truth. I mean, it was revealed in the fact that not everybody knew that the Messiah was on the scene. But that wasn't hidden stuff. That was not a proverb. That was a fact. And the Jews knew what a lamb was for. The Lamb of God is the sacrifice that God had required the nation of Israel to make morning and evening. And if you expect to be cleansed from sin, you brought your own lamb. And that was not a proverb. "Now all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." This word "know" here is only part of the word found in Matthew's account. This is gnosis. This is coming into knowledge. This is growing in the knowledge of the Father and the Son. This is just confirming the fact that it is a process, and we are growing in that knowledge. In John 6:45, it says, "Every man therefore that hath heard," that is, those who have ears to hear, "and hath learned," that is, teachable and not set in his own knowledge, "of the Father cometh to me." Now this isn't for salvation. This has to do with all things that have been delivered unto the Son, which has to do with His inheritance. All things being delivered to the Son means that God has given to the Son everything. And Jesus Christ will inherit the earth. And the meek will inherit the earth. And Jesus Christ, the Son, will rule and reign over the kingdoms of this earth. And so therefore, that's what He is referring to here. Coming unto Him that we might enjoy sharing in His inheritance. And then in Luke chapter, the passage in Luke again in chapter 10 and in verse 23, it says, "And He turned unto His disciples and said privately." This is private information, disciples. "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." Jesus told the crowd in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, when he was teaching the parables. He says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Those who can receive the knowledge of the Father and the Son are those who have blessed eyes and blessed ears. Now, you can have eyes and ears to hear truth, but you have to have blessed eyes and blessed ears to hear the truth. And I'm making a distinction between the truth and truth. God desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Truth, without the definite article before it, is general knowledge of the Word of God. But the truth is knowledge of the Son and knowledge of the Father and knowledge of the doctrine of life for the age, or the life. In other words, it's found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, to show you an incident that happened in the life of Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was discussing who he was with his disciples. And verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, or unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." When it says flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto him, it meant that Jesus Christ did not reveal it to him. Because Jesus Christ is in his body of what? Flesh and blood and bones. This was not taught to Peter. The Father revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Son of God. And he also revealed to him that he was the Christ. Now, I just included the thought that this is exclusive information. And this is the character of God to do that. Just as Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountain and was transfigured before him, that is, leaving the other nine apostles at the bottom of the hill, Jesus revealed himself and his glory to those three in a way that he did not reveal himself to the other apostles. In fact, he charged them in verse 9 of Mark 9, "Don't tell anybody what we've been doing until after I am raised from the dead. You keep this a secret. This is not to be common knowledge with the other apostles." One of the things that happens when we have this kind of knowledge and this kind of fellowship, what can this do? It can cause us to be puffed up, can it? And God doesn't want us to be puffed up. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to have the spirit of being last, not first. And when the Lord allows us to see things and to experience things and to know things, we can become puffed up. And God doesn't want us to be puffed up. Now, what about God? Is God veiled? Is God hidden? No, God is not hidden. The Father and the Son are veiled. They are hidden. But God is not. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "But that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Creation reveals God. But there is nothing that reveals the Father and the Son but the Spirit of the truth, which is the Holy Spirit. And only He does it when He is instructed to do it. And He is instructed to do it by the Father. And we can see that in John 16. But it says here that man can clearly see and understand the things that by the things that are made, the Godhead or God, the Creator. So this is not something that is revealed. In fact, Psalms 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." God can be known by man. In Acts 17:27 it says, "And they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." God has not made it impossible for people, His creatures, to find Him, because He is close to all of us. But you can't do that on your own volition to know the Father and the Son. Jesus, again, was not hidden when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Even in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Now, we were talking about the unveiler, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to pull back the veil on His Word. In John 15:26 it says, "But when the Comforter," that is the Exhorter, the word comfort is really not a happy translation, it's the Paraclesis. Para means beside, and klesis comes from the word kaleo, meaning to call. Have you ever been at a track meet and to see those who are participating in an event running and pacing themselves? What sometimes happens in the race? The coach is doing what? He's talking on the phone. He's making plans to... No. The coach is the paraclesis. He is encouraging whom? He is encouraging his team to run the race as planned, to be patient. You can make it. Don't quit. You're running too fast. You're running too slow. He is the one who is exhorting the participant in the race. The Holy Spirit is our paraclesis. The Holy Spirit of God is beside us, and He is in us, and He is exhorting us to what? Be faithful, to be steadfast, to be unmovable. He is there to say, "Look, you're doing the wrong thing. You're taking the wrong turn. You're saying the wrong thing." To convict us of the things in our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. And He is also the revealer of the truth. In John 15:26, "But when the Comforter," that is the Exhorter, "is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." Notice where it comes from. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the Father. He comes from the Father. This is unique knowledge. When you have this kind of knowledge, then you can respond to the Holy Spirit, the Exhorter, in a different manner than you would if He was just simply a headbutter. You think of the fact that He convicts of sin. But He is the one who brings to remembrance the things that He has taught us to encourage us. Even the Spirit of the truth, and there's a definite article, "the" before truth, "which proceedeth from the Father, and He shall testify of Me." Notice that it has been put in there twice where He came from. He came from the Father. He came from the Father. Listen! He came from the Father. Now, what will He do? "Howbeit when the Spirit," and this is in John 16, verses 13 through 15, "howbeit when He," the Spirit of truth, "is come, He will guide you in all the truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Well, who sent him? The Father sent him. Who is he listening to? He's not listening to me. He's listening to the Father. And he's going to speak to those that what? That have blessed ears. Blessed ears. And he will show you things to come. He's going to show us. What do you have to see what he's going to show us? Blessed eyes. He is going to show us things to come. What are the things that are coming? It's the millennium. It's life of the age. It's our inheritance in the coming kingdom. Because Jesus Christ is our high priest concerning what? Good things that are coming. And the things that are coming have to do with the promise of age-lasting inheritance. Hebrews 9:15. And he will glorify me, verse 14, back in John 16. For he shall receive of mine. What does that mean? I personally believe that he's going to receive of the Lord's inheritance, the Son's inheritance, and he is going to show that inheritance unto me. This is the reason why when we gather together at the breaking of bread, we take the cup, because that speaks of the good things that are coming and the inheritance that we will enjoy in the New Testament in His blood. He will take of His inheritance and show it unto us. Part of His inheritance is being a king. He will show that to us. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and show it unto you. Things, that is, His inheritance. Now, Paul prayed after he heard of the faith and love of the believers, the faithful believers in Ephesus, in Ephesians 1, verse 16. He goes on in verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epinosis, the deeper knowledge. This is the same word that we found in Matthew's account of what we've been looking at. That we may know the Father. This is the deeper knowledge of Him, that is the Son. That the eyes are the heart of your understanding being enlightened. This has to do with blessed eyes, I believe. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This has to do with the promise that the Spirit of the truth will take of the Lord and show unto us. And it's the Father of glory that has to give us the wisdom and revelation, the unveiling of these truths. That's so we can have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. If that spirit of revelation and wisdom hasn't been given, we're not going to be able to respond to that truth. In Colossians chapter 1, we have almost a parallel passage of Scripture. That we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And it doesn't say the Father here in this particular portion, but I think the Father is implied in context and in comparing Scripture with Scripture. Because what happens is you find in verse 12, because of the exhortation to be faithful to the Lord and in good works, we will be giving thanks unto the Father. But let me read verse 11 where it says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance. What have we been talking about? We have been talking about that which is the Lord. That which is mine. He will take that which is mine and show it unto you. That's His inheritance. And He has made us fit. Who has made us fit? The Father has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. How has He made us fit? By pulling the veil of secrecy and giving us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that we might learn of the Father and have fellowship with Him and to be steadfast and to be unmovable. In fact, that we will use His power to be patient and long-suffering and to have joy. Then he goes on in verse 13. By the way, it's the inheritance of the saints in light. I mean, these are people who have received the light of the truth. Not the saints that are in darkness, because Ephesians tells us to wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and God or Christ will give thee light. And so, this is the inheritance of the saints that are enlightened. Who, that is, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, or moved us, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who has done all this? The Father. I tell you, that to me enhances my thoughts and my fellowship with the Father because of His plans and His purposes for me. He has given me blessed ears. He's given me blessed eyes. He has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of His Son. And let me say this. If you listen to this tape, if you're here this morning in this room, I believe God has given you blessed eyes and ears. You have to believe that. The majority of God's children have not received that. When you see that only three of the apostles were able to go up on the mountain, that's a small percentage of all the apostles as well as all the disciples, the followers. And so we're talking about a small group of people. Well, what is the exhortation? We'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, study, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, or to present thyself approved unto God. And that's what we want to do. We want to be approved in His presence. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to enter into the joy of the Lord. And so we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, I don't want to stand in the presence of our Savior, our Lord, my Judge, and be ashamed of myself. How can I keep from standing there ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of the truth. That is, taking advantage of the ministry of the Spirit of the truth in my life. Because God has given me the ability to respond to that ministry. Where He has not given the ability to all of His children to respond to that ministry. Let me say this. If God gave that ability to all of His kids, there would have been a lot of kids that have been beaten with many stripes. Because Luke tells us that the servant that knows his Lord's will and prepares not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved. How? Studying. Taking advantage of the privileges that we have to grow in knowledge of the Father and the Son, and to have fellowship with Him, and to have fellowship with others of like mind. That's what John was trying to promote. In fact, John in his epistle makes reference to the fact that some left their group, some left their church. Why? Because they were not of them. That means that they were saved, but they didn't have blessed ears and eyes. That's basically what it amounts to. May the Lord help us to respond to the blessings that He's given us and make sure that we don't quit. It's better for us not to have heard and quit than to have heard and quit. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'd bless the Word to each of our hearts and lives. We just thank You, Father, that You have translated us into the kingdom of Your dear Son, that You have made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of these blessings and learn to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and those of kindred spirit and mind. Bless the message to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.